When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." Luke was a masterful storyteller. Today is a turning point in his story. Jesus begins a journey. He set his face to go to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, we know, there Jesus would be betrayed, arrested, tortured, and crucified, executed. And there in Jerusalem, he rose from the dead and was taken up into heaven. To make this journey, he set his face to Jerusalem. To use his own words, Jesus put his hand to the plow and did not look back. Onward to Jerusalem. One of my favorite books was published 45 years ago by the late Eugene Peterson. He's mostly known for his modern paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. The book is titled A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. It was originally rejected by 17 publishers. Why? Because there would not be an audience for the book. Having sold over 300,000 copies, it's now considered a classic book about discipleship. Just as the ancient people made pilgrimage to Jerusalem, which is the theme of his book, as disciples, we're on a journey. We're on a pilgrimage to eternal life. The main point of the book is the same point of today's gospel reading. Disciples follow Jesus for the long haul. Disciples of Jesus are obedient to the teachings of Jesus. And as we're on this journey to eternal life, hands to the plow, move forward. This is our eternal goal. Today's story has two scenes. And I think it's absolutely fascinating that as Jesus begins the journey, Luke places the story of Samaria first. Now, a direct trip from Galilee, which in the north, to Jerusalem in the south, would be straight through Samaria. Samaria's in the middle. You've got Galilee, Samaria, and Judea, Jerusalem, as the capital. But Jews and Samaritans hated each other so much that everyone, almost everyone, always took the longer, safer journey around Samaria. Either way, so that they wouldn't have to go through Samaria. But not Jesus. He went through Samaria. And when they get there, the first village they come to, they're disrespected. They were shown no hospitality. When the Jews said the name Samaritan, they would spit. And when Samaritans would say the name Jews, they would spit. They really hated each other. So James and John, also called the Sons of Thunder, come up with a plan because they were disrespected, a plan for revenge. And they go to Jesus. Let's bombard these heathens with heavenly firebombs and destroy them. That's their plan. And Luke, the storyteller, simply tells us that Jesus rebuked the disciples. I wish this story were a more famous story about Jesus. It's not the most famous one. I wish it were. What a powerful example of tolerance for those of a different culture, of a different religion, different religious beliefs. The Samaritans were half Jewish and half Gentile. Half-breeds, they were considered. They had different worship. Mount Gerizim, not worshiping in Jerusalem. This was a culture of extreme division. And the tolerance of Jesus in that atmosphere is the first thing that Luke wants to tell us about. Jesus begins a journey to the cross. And his spirit is a spirit of tolerance, not a spirit of revenge. And we know that about him, even in the end when he gets to Jerusalem. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And by the way, Luke returns to the topic of Samaria several times in his writings. Soon after this story, Jesus is, when he gets to Jerusalem, in the area of Jerusalem, he tells a parable of the Good Samaritan. We'll talk about that in a couple weeks. At the very beginning of Acts of the Apostles, which is the journey story of the church, which Luke wrote, we're told right up front, chapter 1, that the church is to witness to Samaria. And in chapter 8 of Acts, Philip goes to Samaria. The apostle Philip goes to Samaria. The people who once disrespected Jesus, we're told in chapter 8 of Acts, become disciples. That's what tolerance does. Now, I'll be the first to admit that following Jesus and imitating Jesus is the hardest thing we have to do. That's why we have confession and forgiveness at the beginning of worship every week. There's no way that we can perfectly be disciples of Jesus since the last time we gathered together. And so right from the start, we confess our sins so that we can restart and so that we can reboot in this long obedience in the same direction. Now, the second part of today's story, Jesus has conversations with three people. And it's about becoming disciples, about how to be a disciple. Now, the first encounter almost feels like a rejection, but it's not. Jesus is basically saying, you want to follow me wherever I go? I have no place to rest my head, he says. This is what Jesus is teaching. As a disciple, you're not really at home in this world. As a disciple, you're out of place when it comes to the values of the world. Following Jesus means that you don't rest your head in the world, on the things of the world. You don't rest your head on worldly power. You don't rest your head on wealth. You don't rest your head on greed. You don't rest your head on revenge. You don't rest your head on hatred. These are the things of the world. Yes, follow me, but know that you're rejecting these things of the world. Now, at first glance, the next two encounters, when you hear them at first, they seem rather harsh. It almost seems as if Jesus is turning these prospective disciples away. They want to be disciples, and it sounds as if Jesus is being harsh. Does this really sound like Jesus? To the man who wanted to bury his father, Jesus said, "Let the dead bury their own dead." And to the man who wanted to say goodbye to his family, "Don't look back, hand to the plow." They sound harsh, but they're not. Jesus isn't being harsh at all. Luke's original audience, in hearing this, would have understood exactly what these two men were asking. They were saying that they had things to do instead of following Jesus. And it really doesn't matter what those things are. Jesus used two examples. Luke gives two examples, you know, burying the dead and saying goodbye. Could be anything. There's a modern story that helps here, I think. There's a film about the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League during World War II. You know the name of that movie? It's called A League of Their Own. Yep, A League of Their Own. Now, without question, the most famous line in that movie is, "There's no crying in baseball." There's no crying in baseball. It's clearly the most popular phrase. Now, these prospective disciples were saying to Jesus, "I have things to do instead of following you." Instead of following you. It says, and then it's as if Jesus were responding, "There's no instead in following me." There's no instead. To follow Jesus means to make everything we do part of following Jesus. This is my paraphrase of what Jesus is saying. Follow me to be spiritually alive. So when you go back home to bury your father, be alive in me. And Jesus even told the man, "Go and proclaim the kingdom of God." It's not a matter of instead. This is a long obedience in the same direction. And the same is true of the last man in the story. He wants to go home and say farewell to his family instead of following Jesus. There's no instead in following Jesus. Jesus is saying, go to your home. Say what you have to say when you get home. Say it as my disciple, not instead of being my disciple. Say it as my disciple. Everything you do is as my disciple. And finally, when Jesus says not to look back, he's not telling us to ignore the past. Look at other places. At the Last Supper, Jesus said, every time you break the bread, every time you drink the wine, Remember that in the past I died for you. What Jesus means here is that we can't live in the past. Like a farmer plowing a field. To not make things a mess, we put our hands to the plow and travel forward. You're going to make a mess if you look back. We're on a journey. And it's a long obedience in the same direction. In his book, Peterson writes this: everyone who travels the road of faith requires assistance from time to time. We need direction when the way is unclear. And God gives us this assistance. God always gives us directions. God gives us instructions how to take this road in the same direction. God gave us Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus sent us the Holy Spirit to always assist us on our journey to be the best disciples we can be. To help us on our journey, God gives us the gift of forgiveness because we do mess it up. And God gives us the bread and the wine of Holy Communion to feed us and nourish us and strengthen us. And God gives us the Holy Spirit to guide us in our decisions. God gives us a community of believers traveling together. We're not in this alone. And God is always walking with us on the journey. And one last reminder. We heard it in our second reading today. Jesus gives us the most important instruction for our journey, for this long obedience in the same direction. One simple instruction. Love one another. For our prayer, I invite you to take a few moments in silent prayer. Bring to your mind all the different parts of your life. What's going on in your life right now? Bring them into your mind, your daily life, your activities, anything that's going on, your relationships, your family, everything. Bring it all into your mind as much as you can in this short little time. And think about that and reflect on what's going on in your life right now. And we're going to have a time of silence to remember that. And after the silence, I'm going to speak some words that I believe Jesus is saying to us today as we think about what's going on in our life. Think. Jesus is saying to you now, in all these things, follow me, and I will be with you always, always, always.